Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Russell Westbrook does something he hasn't done since 2016 in Tuesday night's win over the Sacramento Kings. We'll get into that. We'll get into Talen Horton-Tucker, a bounce back game for him, another good one for Malik Monk. And LeBron James just keeps rolling 30 plus again for LeBron. All that coming up and more on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, as we get this thing up for you. Make another Locked On podcast a second listen if you can, but you know, after the first one, which is us. I want to let you know as well that today's episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. So we'll get to Malik Monk, Andy. I was a little nervous in the first half of Tuesday's win over Sacramento because we spent a lot of time on Tuesday's show talking about how well Monk has been playing and all that. And he did not have a good first half. A good bounce back game for Talen Horton-Tucker, who desperately needed one.
This was the best Talen has played in eons for a lot of different reasons we'll get into. But it was nice to see this for a young guy that has been really struggling and with certain guys potentially coming back reasonably soon. Probably wondering if his minutes are going to be in jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question to ask, and we can get into that. And really, quite frankly, the Lakers needed him to play well on Tuesday night. They did beat Sacramento 122-114, but this was a tight game, Andy, all the way up through into the fourth quarter. The Lakers were behind for portions of the second half, and it's funny, like, I don't think they played particularly well. In certain guys individually did, but you know, they got 31 from LeBron, but it was not an efficient 31. 26 shots took them to get there, only 3 of 10 from three-point range. They got 19 from Westbrook, but not an efficient 19. He needed 19 shots to get 19
points. Yeah, he had a better second half shooting. The first half, he was 4 of 13 from the field. But as we're going to get into, he had zero turnovers in this game. The first time, and this is a great stat, by the way, from our guy, Law Murray, who covers the Clippers for The Athletic, does a really good job. This was the first time Russell Westbrook had gone without a turnover in a regular season game since March of 2016, when he was with the Thunder, a win, actually, in that game, too, against the Blazers. So it has been quite some time since, you know, not even a criticism of Russ. It's actually
expect, you know, most point guards like him, you know, have a turnover in a game.
But, this was a game where, and it's not a coincidence, Russ had zero, the Lakers had five. Some of this is going to be dictated very directly by what Russ does or does not do with the ball.
Well, the other night, I think this was the Minnesota game. I'll pull it up, but you know, the Lakers, I think, had 15.
They did have 15.
Which is a tolerable number, of which Westbrook, I believe, had eight or nine. So, yeah, I mean, to some degree, how many turnovers Russ has can be sort of the determining factor as to what the Lakers have as a team. But I mean, this is a high turnover group. In general, and I you know, it is amazing to me just the clarity that Tuesday's game showed in what you can do on a night where you're not playing particularly well defensively, not that great offensively either. The Lakers, again, weren't that good. If you don't give the ball away against a team like Sacramento and give them opportunities to score easily, you know, the Kings will do you some favors. The Kings turn the ball over a ton themselves, 18 turnovers from Sacramento. And it was almost like, Andy, the mirror image of the Minnesota game. The Lakers had 16 more field goal attempts than the Kings did because of that turnover discrepancy.
Yeah. First of all, Alvin Gentry in this game, who's now the interim head coach because Luke Walton was fired during the season, he looked like somebody very, very jealous of Luke Walton at home. Like a Alvin Gentry this season, forget like it's going to turn him into an alcoholic or an addict of some sort. Like this could be the season where Alvin Gentry just says, you know what? I'm old enough. I'm done with this damn sport. I am done with this industry. I'm done with this profession. I'm just going to go on doing whatever else I enjoy in my life. I've had enough. This bleep ain't worth it. Lethal Weapon, there was a tool for this bleep.
Yeah, I was about to say, there was a very Danny Glover, you know, Lethal Weapon 2 vibe coming from Alvin Gentry.
Like, I mean, he just looked so over this. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but like Alvin Gentry, and we, you know, we've been around Alvin for a while. We were with him around him when he was with the Clippers and stuff. He's a great dude, and everybody universally loves Alvin Gentry.
That's why he's universally everyone's interim head coach.
Right. I don't know if you've noticed, but post-game Kings pressers have basically turned into an Alvin Gentry apology tour. Like about every other game is just Alvin Gentry apologizing to Kings fans about something the team did during that game. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that should be the theme for most of everything the Kings do publicly is apologizing to their fans for something that happened. But yeah. Like, look, but that is the point. Like, look, Lakers have won three in a row.
Yeah,
they beat a bad, struggling Portland team. They beat a Minnesota team barely without Karl Anthony Towns and without D'Angelo Russell. They beat a bad Sacramento team and required most of a full four quarters to do it. There's a lot in here that is, you know, yeah, they're winning, but like if you want to kind of go and sure. And we can talk about, well, I'm sure we'll get into a lot of that stuff over the course of the week before they play again on Friday. But they got to win these games, and they are. And it shows that if they don't do an opponent that is worse than them favors, I think you kind of alluded to this earlier in the week, Andy. If they just don't do favors for the other team, they give themselves a chance to win every night, because the Lakers aren't a great team either, but they're better than the Kings.
This is perfect example of this was last week, the eventual loss against the Grizzlies. They were up 13 against a really good Memphis team. Like the Grizzlies are for real. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but
they're legit.
Yeah, they're a legit good team that no team that will eventually win the championship will want to see in the playoffs. They were up 13 with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. If they had just been capable of trading baskets competently, they would have won that thing comfortably. But then they started making mistakes in ways that you can't do against a team that's better than them. And we talked about this, how they have demonstrated at times in very frustrating fashion that when they play at the top of their game, even in all these different incarnations, missing dudes, they can play with good teams, much less bad ones, but their margin for error, it frankly isn't that great no matter who they play. Mm-hmm. But what you don't want to see is them give away games against lesser competition, which they've done a lot during the season.
Yeah, and so you know, you go back through that first half, and you know, the Lakers went into the locker room down, I want to say two. It was a two-point game at the half. But like, take a look at the numbers. They were 3 of 16 from three-point range in the first half. That's not good. LeBron was 5 of 12. You mentioned Westbrook was 4 of 13. They were only 43% overall. They had 2 points from Trevor Ariza and Avery Bradley combined. Like, you know, I realize those aren't guys you're relying on to be big scorers in your lineup, but 2 points from two guys in your starting lineup combined isn't good. But they had one turnover, and that's why that was a two-point game at the end of the first half. And so
that and surprising contributions from THT and Dwight Howard, who ended up getting 22 unexpected minutes in this game, 14 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, I believe 2 steals. A really nice night for Dwight.
Yeah, let's talk about those two guys. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Companies intentionally make subscriptions just impossible feeling to cancel, but Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts. Truebill will cancel the unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users, and they've helped them save collectively over $100 million. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
So if we get a second, maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. You know, Westbrook had some interesting comments about, we talk a lot about how Westbrook is learning to play with other guys, playing kind of a slightly different role here, where he is, you know, certainly the third star of the three, having to adjust off ball more, all that stuff. Some interesting stuff that came out of tonight's game about how guys have to adjust and learn to play with him. We'll see if we can get to that tonight. But you mentioned it. Dwight Howard, for example, got in the game, played very well, tons of energy, did what Dwight does when he's playing well, had a nice connection with Malik Monk and on some pick and rolls. And
well, they go back to Charlotte, Brian.
That's true.
As when Dwight was seemingly on a quest to play for every team in the league one season at a time, there was a stop in Charlotte. He was reunited with Mitch Kupchak.
Yes, he actually put up, like, statistically very solid numbers.
He did.
In Charlotte, and they wanted nothing to do with him
when he was done
with it, which gives you an idea of where Dwight was in his career at that point. So we'll get to Monk, we'll get to THT. I refuse to call him Talo. Terrible nickname.
I have a theory that because we've covered Talen Horton-Tucker obviously since he entered the league, and we've seen him interviewed a lot. We've seen his teammates talk about him a lot. I have not heard until this year that his nickname is apparently Talo. You know, I guess like a play on J-Lo, and it's an awful nickname that just became public. And this is the first season where it's felt like THT might be regressing. I don't think this is a coincidence. No. I think he is incredibly self-conscious that people know him now.
Like, if he plays
god-awful
well,
nickname.
Yeah, if he plays well, people are going to, like, it's going to be out there a lot. People are going to be up on the podium saying Talo a lot. But
it's just horrible.
It's terrible. Dwight, though, you know, it's funny because it didn't surprise me that he was in the game on Tuesday. If you look at what Alvin Gentry did, you know, he started Damian Jones, you know, former Laker, in a revenge game. And, you know, 29 minutes from Jones, you get 18 minutes off the bench from Alex Len, who is not that good, but is a significantly sized human being.
Plus Marvin Bagley's a big dude too.
Yeah.
He's 6'11".
And so you know, and he had 12 rebounds. And so you start to put these big guys out on the floor, and we have noted this. Other teams are not always going to cooperate in terms of how they defend, what personnel they put on the floor and stuff like that. The Lakers aren't really good enough, quite frankly, to play opposing centers off the floor all the time. And so it means, as the coaching staff has said, there are going to be nights where you're going to need your bigs. Hopefully that's never DeAndre Jordan, but that does mean, you know, 15 minutes one night, maybe 25 minutes another night, maybe zero from Dwight, depending on the opponent. But Dwight's going to play sometimes. It made sense that he played on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you want to make sure that LeBron and, you know, Stanley Johnson, he is not available tonight. He's not with the team right now because the 10-day contract expired. The expected next contract, whether full season or another 10-day, however this shakes out, and all signs seem to be that the Lakers and Stanley Johnson are going to continue this thing, but he was not there tonight. So that's another potentially stronger guy that they could have put on Bagley or Jones.
But still,
or
but still undersized for
Absolutely. But I'm just saying in terms of just options, if you want to stay as small as possible, that's one fewer guy. Stanley Johnson's one of the stronger dudes, presumably, on this team. Exactly. So, you know, it does to some degree force what the Lakers are going to be doing. And again, to Dwight's credit, he played very well in this game. He obviously stayed ready. And I don't remember which game it was exactly, but there was a game where DeAndre Jordan was at the time starting and Dwight was out of the rotation because they were only going one true big at a time. And DeAndre had some type of, I think, defensive miscommunication that clearly bothered Vogel. Vogel said something to him about it and very clearly did not like DeAndre Jordan's reaction to this at all. Pulled DeAndre early, put Dwight into the game. Dwight has said after the game he had not expected to play at all, and he played really well in that game too. So Dwight is staying ready for this, cliched as it sounds, and it's helpful for this team when that happens.
Yeah, I think fans are sort of confusing, like the Lakers are going to go small and lean into playing small with, like, literally those guys are never going to play. You know, that bothers some of them. There are a lot of people who think Dwight should play more. I just, you know, there's a template for this. Lakers did this in the playoffs, like in the bubble. They would kind of mix and match their centers and put guys in and play them more, play them less. Like, they are building an identity while AD is out around playing particularly small with LeBron at center. When AD comes back, they're going to reinforce the identity of Anthony Davis as a center, LeBron filling in as the backup center when AD's off the floor.
And Stanley Johnson too, by the way. That was something Vogel talked about, is that he's going to get looks as a small ball five. Like, that is something they are thinking about with him. Again, the assumption being he's going to be on this team.
Right. In those moments where both AD and LeBron are sitting, which, you know, and you have Westbrook-led units and all that, which I hope they don't do much of. But that doesn't, again, that doesn't mean that Dwight Howard is never going to play and they're never going to use a traditional big. We'll probably see one, next week when they play Jokic, when the Lakers play Denver.
Absolutely.
I believe it's a week from Friday. So good work from Dwight. He brings, you know, when he's playing well, he brings a positive energy to what they're doing. He was very active around the rim. You mentioned it, Andy, great bounce back game from Talen Horton Tucker, certainly his best game since returning from COVID. I thought it was imperfect, but at the very least, it was more controlled than what he's been doing of late.
Yeah. This was, to me, the most just calm THT's looked in a game in quite a while. And, you know, it's always a reminder when you see him in a game like this, where he really looks just in control of everything that he's doing. And, you know, he made, you and I were talking offline before the show, like he made some very difficult shots at times. And there, you could argue that at times he dribbled himself into some trouble with those shots. But the difference though, between that, which THT is going to do, I think it's sort of the type of player that he is at times, and he's still learning, and he's a guy that goes to the rim all the time, and sometimes going to the rim means you have to do stuff in a crowd.
I also think just with his outside shot, he did hit a three-pointer, his first one. He had missed his last 16 before that. But when he can't hit an outside shot, there is no plan B, and I think defenses have just adjusted to him.
Sure.
And every shot he's going to have to take inside is going to be very difficult.
But what I would say, though, was the big difference, though, tonight versus other games where THT has frankly looked pretty bad, is he did not look super sped up while he was taking those difficult shots, which obviously, you know, precision matters when the degree of difficulty is higher. And this just felt like a very precise game for THT, you know, certainly compared to a lot of what we've been seeing.
I felt too, especially like that was true on the defensive side as much as anything. He felt, you know, particularly in the first half, he was very disruptive defensively. I think particularly for me, he was just much more engaged on the, on the defensive side, you know, in the first half, particularly chasing over screens, getting his hands on balls and passes and being disruptive as a defender. That, as much as anything, is going to be what helps him stay on the floor. I didn't like a lot of the offense, but I think offense is going to be hard for him while his outside shot is so unreliable.
It was better tonight, though.
I mean, it was definitely better.
Even beyond the three that he made, he hit some mid-range shots. Like, again,
it was better.
This was just the best he has looked in terms of comfort in his own skin on the court. You know, he talked about afterwards, LeBron mentioned, like, the idea of just be yourself out there. Don't try to do too much. And I think there's a temptation when you're a young, very inexperienced player like him to try to overcome slumps by just playing your ass off through it as opposed to just playing your game. And I hope this is something THT can learn from, because I really feel like this template was established for him in terms of getting himself through this.
Yeah, at his best, he kind of he gives off a very, you know, 56-year-old dude at the YMCA kind of vibe, and how he moves and the speed and the flow and the change of speeds and all that kind of stuff. And this certainly looked much more like that. Six assists from THT on Tuesday as well indicates, you know, he was moving the ball better and all that. I thought, you know, they got some good moments defensively from Austin Reeves and all that. And then let's come back and talk more about Malik Monk, because we're getting to a place, Andy, where I think you can officially say that at least while Anthony Davis is out, that the secondary scorer on this team is Malik Monk. In some important ways that we saw on Tuesday. So we'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. We are officially in 2022, which means your New Year's resolutions. Everybody is looking to get fitter or eat healthier, and that makes Built Bar part of the plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that actually tastes like a candy bar, even better, honestly, than some of the candy bars out there. And you want to eat healthy during this time, but that can feel like really boring. And the more boring it gets, the more you decide, screw it, man. I'm just going to be out of shape. I'm going to be doughy. You know what? That's the new me. Doesn't have to be, because Built Bars taste great. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. Most of them contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, four net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. So if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is actually healthy for you. A lot of great flavors to choose from: coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, so many more. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football continues its march, Andy, we're only 1 week away from the NFL playoffs. It's almost playoff time. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action. So you head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, the NHL, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the games start. All right, so Malik Monk and LeBron James were the engine that drove the Lakers to win in the fourth quarter offensively on Tuesday night. It was, you know, Westbrook wasn't bad. I'm not, you know, putting this on Russ or something, but it was Malik Monk had 11 points. LeBron had 14. So the two of them together scored 25 of the 37 the Lakers put up. And, you know, we talked a lot about Monk on Tuesday's show. He was the topic of conversation at practice on Monday about how well he's played, and he wasn't very good in the first half and kind of gave me that moment of like, oh geez, like I hope we're not seeing something that makes you worry that it's going to be that roller coaster, like, you know, like it was in Charlotte. But, you know, I think right now, for me at least, I look at who the drivers of the offense can be late in games, and Monk is going to be on the floor. I see him as a real primary scorer, because he's a more versatile scorer in those situations, certainly, than Westbrook is.
Well, I mean, he's finishing a lot better than Russ right now. I mean, that is still a very confounding thing for Westbrook and frankly alarming at times.
I was about to say, you say confounding, I say worrisome.
Yes, the inability to convert the way he used to around the rim. I'm not even talking about dunking. I'm just talking about at times, you know, layups in traffic, but layups that Russell Westbrook used to make in his sleep in traffic, mm-hmm. or at least would draw the foul if he missed. And neither one is happening as regularly as Russ would like. Monk just has a lot of tricks in that bag, man. Like there is a lot he can do from outside, driving to the rim, in the mid-range, and Vogel clearly has a lot of confidence in Monk right now, and there's a lot of trust out there. Like there is a lot of extending him goodwill and belief that if Monk is not a lockdown defender at this point, he is at least going to be adhering to the principles out there. And I think at least over the course of the season, he's been better defensively. He's certainly not somebody that you worried about as much in the beginning of the season. And if that's happening, particularly with Davis out there, he's going to get a lot of opportunities and a lot of leash, and he's making the most of it.
Well, I think, you know, as I think, you know, we've kind of laid it out. Certainly, I know this has always been my position. If he's playing really well offensively, he gets more leeway to make mistakes, to be imperfect on defense. And he is playing really well. And I think what you're talking about, he's trying. He is, he is attempting to do what they need him to do. And when you have, you know, LeBron on the floor engaged, and I think this, you know, to some degree Bradley, and, you know, when Stanley Johnson's, they're going to try to figure out ways to compensate for it. But when Monk is hitting, you know, all three of his threes in the fourth quarter, and, you know, he's doing all of that stuff and, you know, puts up 24 points, you get more leeway. And, you know, I think the team functions better if Monk is more of a scoring option in the fourth quarter rather than needing to rely on Westbrook, because it frees up Russ to attack when it's there, but he doesn't have to put that on himself. Like, it doesn't have to be the scorer. He doesn't have to take a bunch of shots. Monk's obviously a better three-point shooter, and he gets to the rim as well, too. So, I mean, Russ can push in the break. He can set guys up. He can make good passes. He can penetrate and kick to Malik Monk, you know, who's a good catch and shoot guy, but he doesn't have to be the driver of the engine of the offense. Whereas Monk's just a slicker offensive player at this point in his career.
He also too, Monk, I think has been trying to become more effective as a playmaker and mm-hmm. somebody who's more reliable that way, which to the point that you're making, it opens him up as a scorer. Like if you actually have to treat him as somebody who could be dishing off and looking to get other guys looks, it just makes him more complicated to guard. And he's in a really nice flow right now. I mean, once everybody is present and accounted for, you know, Anthony Davis back, Stanley Johnson, again, presumably re-signed, I don't know for sure that he's going to stay in the starting lineup, because I think you can make different arguments for different floor combinations. And I don't think it's going to be in any way like a commentary negatively if he ends up going back to the bench. It's just going to be Frank Vogel deciding that he really likes having that punch combined with what, you know, THT does.
Right, whatever it might be. Sure, exactly. Absolutely.
But he's playing really, really well right now. And he's somebody that gives this team a pretty unique dimension in a lot of ways, just in terms of being that very multifaceted scorer, and as athletic as he is and the type of energy that he has, there's not a lot of guys on the team exactly like that.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting and important the way he talked about the difference between his first half and his second half after the game on Tuesday. You know, I think it was 2 of 8 in the first half, and noted that he, you know, was the shot selection was the big deal. It was too many shots off the dribble, too much stuff kind of not in the flow of things. Second half, it was catch and shoot. It was, you know, receiving passes from, you know, LeBron, from Westbrook, and not being fancy with what's going on. And I agree with you. I mean, he may not start. He played 37 minutes on Tuesday. That probably goes down, obviously, as more guys are available. But I think he's played himself certainly to a 25 to 35 minute role on most nights, even while players are back. And we're just not going to see that much of Wayne Ellington, Andy.
Well,
like,
we're not going to see a lot of Wayne Ellington. You know what's funny, actually? I was just reminded of this. Heading into the season, I had said that the guys that I was very confident that were going to be playing a lot this season were LeBron, Russ, AD, THT, and Bazemore. And in a lot of ways, because Malik Monk was one of those guys where, like, we're not sure. He could either playing a lot.
No idea.
He could be a guy that's out of the rotation depending on, you know, the way this defense works out. And as it turns out, Malik Monk is one of those guys that his playing time is absolutely solidified by now. Like, it's not going anywhere.
And as we've noted, he is somebody who has really benefited from the opportunity to play without, you know, while other guys have been out of the lineup. And he has really taken advantage of that opportunity in, you know, THT's minutes could be squeezed if he doesn't play, you know, as well as he
did. None was the other guy that I was counting on playing a lot, but obviously he hasn't played.
Who knows? I mean, that's something, you know, there has been some movement there that we'll get to over the course of the week.
Yes.
Maybe, you know, we should look at this for Thursday's show, for Friday's show. The Lakers don't play again until Friday night. About like kind of where the rotation could be going, because guys are going to get squeezed. Obviously, too, we didn't get too much of it for today's show, but, you know, 31 from LeBron again. there's a lot going on here that is worth pausing and noting at a little more depth than I think we have time for tonight.
I'll just say, in terms of specific to this game, he absolutely rolled the Kings over like the last 5 or 6 minutes. And there was one sequence where he began flexing, looking over at the Kings bench, specifically at Tristan Thompson, you know, his old friend, old teammate with the Cavs, talking some trash, which naturally led to speculation on Twitter as to what he was saying. A lot of paternity suit jokes, Brian.
Well, I am not,
because of what Tristan Thompson is going. You may have heard this story before, Brian. Tristan cheated on Chloe.
Yes, I am. I am not super dialed into that world. Even I heard that story. So,
To be fair,
that is on a Tuesday night, low hanging fruit, as they say.
Here's the thing, though. You've heard that story before. Which specific one?
Because why Tristan was trending today. I believe it was because
did you see,
formally admitted that he is in fact the father. It's like an episode of Maury Povich. You know, you are the father.
His Instagram post apology to Khloe Kardashian felt more insulting than whatever he put Khloe through before this. It felt so just, dude, seriously. Like, you know, Khloe Kardashian's reading this going, my God, man, this is like verbatim the last apology you gave me. Like, you know, shake it up a little bit. Hire a professional writer. Like, slick up the presentation. Do something.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
This thing felt just so bullet pointed. Like, I was offended on her behalf.
All right, so there is. We'll get to LeBron. We'll get to some more of the Westbrook stuff. We'll get to the rotation. A lot to kind of finish out the week as the Lakers get into one more game before Sunday's game against that aforementioned excellent Memphis team. They get a really struggling Atlanta team on Friday, and that's another game that they need to win.
I said before this thing began, 3-1 was the baseline of expectations I had
for
capitalizing. Yeah, let's do it.
4-0. All right, so a lot still to do over the course of the week on Locked On Lakers. Thanks for making us your first listen of every day, and we will see you on Thursday.